This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Today, I want to talk to you about the single biggest driver of success, period. No matter what you want to do, who you want to be, what goals you want to achieve, where you're at in life, where you live in the world, the one biggest factor that will contribute to your success overall, both personally and professionally, is mindset. That's what I want to talk to you about today. In her book, Mindset, Dr. Carol Dweck talks about how certain people kind of overcame their weaknesses and their drawbacks by developing a powerful mindset. And she writes about Muhammad Ali and she tells his story. So let's dive into what she wrote about here real quick. Quote, so boxing experts relied on physical measurements back in the day called tails of the tape. And they relied on these to identify naturals, to identify talent. They included measurements of the fighter's reach, their fist, their chest expansion, their width, their weight. And Muhammad Ali, obviously known as one of the greatest boxers of all time, he actually failed these measurements across the board. He was not a natural. He had actually great speed, but he didn't have the physique of a great fighter. He didn't have the strength. He didn't have the classical moves. In fact, he actually boxed all wrong. He didn't block punches with his arms and his elbows. He actually punched in rallies like an amateur. He kept his jaw exposed. You know those classic posters where he's being a little cocky with it? He's got his arms down. He's got his jaw out like that. So he did that regularly. He kept his jaw exposed. He pulled back his torso to evade the impact of oncoming punches, which fellow boxer and colleague of Muhammad Ali's, Jose Torres, said was actually like someone in the middle of a train track trying to avoid being hit by an oncoming train, not by moving to one side or the other of the track, but by running backwards, right? Imagine doing that. And imagine how little sense that would make. So Sonny Liston, though, Ali's adversary, was a natural, right? He did have it all. He had the size, he had the strength, he had the experience. His power was legendary, they called it. It was unimaginable that Ali could actually beat Sonny Liston. The matchup actually was so ludicrous back then that the arena was only half full for that particular fight. And that particular fight was the fight that made Muhammad Ali Muhammad Ali, right? Now, aside from his quickness, Ali's brilliance was his mind, his mentality, his psychology. It was his brains, not his brawn. What he did is he sized up his opponents and he went for the mental jugular. Not only did he study Liston's fighting style, but he closely observed what kind of a person Liston was outside of the ring. Here's what Ali said about his fight with Liston. Quote, I read everything I could where he'd been interviewed. I talked with people who'd been around him or had talked with him. I would lay in bed and put all of the things together and think about them and try to get a picture of how his mind worked. What did he do with all that? He turned it all against him. Why did Ali appear to go so crazy? Right before each fight, he kind of like go into this crazy tirade, like this verbal tirade where he would just talk massive trash about people. He'd seem like he was just going insane before his fights. Why did he do that? Right? Because Torres says, one of his colleagues again, he says that he knew that a knockout punch is the one single thing that they don't see coming. His opponents don't see coming. Ollie would say, Liston had to believe that I was crazy. That's what he would say. He'd say, Liston had to believe that I was crazy, that I was capable of doing anything. He couldn't see nothing to me at all but mouth, and that's all I wanted him to see, Ollie said. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see. Ollie's victory over Liston is now boxing history. It's likely that unless you've been living under a rock since that fight, you know, you've heard of it. You know who he is. You know about that fight. You know, there was a famous boxing manager that once remarked about Ollie that he was a paradox. You know, everything he did physically in the ring was wrong. But his brain, his mindset, that's where he won. Not with his gloves, not with his fists, but first in the mind and then in the ring. That's powerful stuff. You know, how could a guy who's less athletic, less measured, less savvy in terms of technique and strategy in the ring physically than most of his peers become the single greatest boxer of his time and one of the greatest of history? How could that happen, right? You talk to Muhammad Ali and look at his interviews, you'll find that oftentimes he'll refer to his mindset. He is what Dr. Carol Dweck, the author of this book, Mindset, refers to as he had a growth mindset, right? One that is not defined by failure, but looks at failure not as like an end-all be-all, but as something like, you know what? I can grow from this. I can become better. I can take this challenge and use it to fuel the fire within me, right? People with a growth mindset know that it's not about resources, it's about resourcefulness. They know that it's not about physicality as much as it's about psychology, right? And so what I want to challenge you to do, because, you know, right now, even to this day, just something to think about, this still hasn't changed people's minds about physical endowment in athletics and sports and things like that. No, now what we do is we just look back at Ali, right, with our hindsight and see the body of a champion, of a great boxer. You know, it was gravy that his mind was so sharp and that he made up amusing poems and blah, 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 blah. And we still think his greatness resided in his physique, but that wasn't the case, right? It's very obvious if you just look back in history that he was an underdog. Nobody predicted that he would rise to the massive amounts of success that he ended up rising to and achieving. It's crazy, right? But we don't understand how the experts failed to see all that greatness right from the start, back in the day, in the beginning, right? It was all in his psychology, his mentality. He had a growth mindset. Now, what's the difference between a growth mindset and actually what is the other type of mindset? Because there's two broad basic ones, right? There is the growth mindset, which is what supreme elite athletes have, people, high performers, peak performers in the business world have. And then there's the just peak performers anywhere. A mother can have a growth mindset when she's talking to her child and she sees that her kid kind of, you know, wasn't reading a sentence properly. She doesn't say you're stupid. She says, you can try again. You can do this. You can do this. Let me ask you another question. How long would you let a baby crawl before you gave up on it? How long would you let a baby crawl before you kind of gave up on letting it walk? Right? That's a ludicrous question. It's ridiculous. You would say that you'd let the baby crawl and crawl and crawl over and over and over and over and over again until the baby got up and started walking, right? Where would the world be if we gave up on things like that, basic things that we know we're supposed to be doing? Well, why not apply that to your own goals, your own ambitions, the things that you want to achieve, rather than saying to yourself, oh, I can't, you know, jump from this career to another one because look how far I've come already. I've already climbed the ladder. I'm making more than most of my peers are. And, you know, yeah, sure, it's not what I want to do. In fact, I don't like this job at all, but you know, I can't give up on these benefits. How about that health insurance? You know what I mean? And so, you know, we sort of get ourselves into this groove, this tunnel vision where we convince ourselves that whatever it is that we're doing is okay. It's okay that we didn't achieve our goals. It's okay that we didn't go for that dream that we had been dreaming about when we were younger. It's okay that we didn't pursue those things that we were passionate about. It's okay that maybe you don't know what your purpose is and you're not doing meaningful work because, hey, you know, you got to pay the bills, got to provide for your family. You got to get this health insurance and these benefits, right? But that's fixed mindset thinking. I'm not saying that if you're a growth mindset, you got to go out there and be the best of every, you know, out of everything, and you got to do all this stuff, and you have to be insanely confident. That doesn't happen overnight, right? But you could kind of continue working on the job that you have right now, even if you don't like it that much, while you start up the business that you've been wanting to start up. You could be working your survival job, as I call it, during the day and spend just a couple of hours after work working on, you know, submitting applications for that company you really want to work for, or to work on your side business. You could, you know, have your survival job by day and slowly build your side project, your passion project, up after work every day, or however often as you can, and just an hour a day, until finally, maybe a year down the line, 2 years down the line, you've built it up so much that now, wow, you're making just as much, if not more money, than you were at your survival job that you dislike. Now you can quit that job and you can focus on growing the passion project, that side business of yours, that thing you love to do, that thing that fires you up, that thing that gets you excited to wake up in the morning, right? So a fixed mindset doesn't see those possibilities. A fixed mindset says, oh crap, I tried out, you know, this sport, lacrosse, and I really sucked at it, so I'm just going to give up on that and I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Whereas a growth mindset, when they approach that, for example, that sport, lacrosse, for instance, and they screw it up at first, but instead of saying, oh my God, I suck at this, I'm a failure, they say, you know what, I dropped the ball a little bit, you know, I could still learn the rules, I could still practice. They understand that practice makes progress. It's not about perfection, it's about progress. Right? They understand that a failure isn't a person, it's an event. They understand that it's just a challenge and they can grow from it, right? Fall down, pull up your socks, shake off the dust, and get back in there. That's what a growth mindset person does. They know that in any situation, they can learn something or prosper from it. And so what I want to do today is I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to think about that. Are you sort of approaching your goals and the things that you want to do, either personally or professionally in your life, with a fixed mindset approach? Are you letting other people's opinions of you define you? If someone says that you're not a good writer and you want to become a writer, are you believing them? Or is your own personal inner belief stronger? Whereas you can develop that mindset, that mental strength to grow and become better, right? I want to challenge you to sit down and think about that today. And maybe in those areas where you have a fixed mindset, sort of try to make a shift and take out a journal and write down the areas where you have a fixed mindset, where you are sort of believing other people's opinions of you, that you're a failure, or that you can't do this, or you're not capable, you're not talented enough. You know, write down those areas where you believe that about yourself, and then write down one thing that you can do today, however small it may be, to grow in that area, and put that underneath the growth mindset part of the journal, part of the page. And you'll immediately start to see the benefits as a result of that. If you just do that simple exercise today, and then you look it over every day for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, you will start to see a shift, however tiny it might be. And that tiny little shift towards growth, that tiny little achievement, that $1 sale off that side project that you've been procrastinating on, you know, that will help propel your passions, your purpose, your success in the future. And then you'll do a little more, then you'll do a little more, and then you'll do a little more. And before you know it, you'll be living like you give a damn. Yo, it's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.